A sin explained, the truth revealed, and of course, a resurrection. Stay tuned.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz
begin. Welcome, 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 you guys. We are here at AfterBuzz TV for... We are covering The Messiah Show on Netflix. We are doing episode 10, Woo! The final episode.
The final one.
We're done, you guys. This is it. The questions can stop.
Or can
they keep going? We're talking The Wages of Sin. That is what the episode is called. We're talking about the Megiddo Explain. You guys, you stayed in tune with all of our sessions that we've had here. I've been asking about Megiddo every time.
Every single time.
Because it's so interesting. So the Megiddo incident is finally explained. We're talking about Miriam reveals the truth because she is my number one reporter of all time. And, of course, the final miracle. Is it a miracle? Okay, the final miracle. We're also diving into our dissecting the Messiah. So instead of our WWYD, we're going to be just dissecting this entire episode. Not episode, but series as a whole. And of course, we have our news and gossip by Ebony. Mm-hmm. But before we get into it, Tatiana Marisa, that is me. And all things Messiah, you are an expert.
Oh, yeah.
Expert.
The expert of everything that's happening on this episode.
I think so.
This series.
This whole series, yes. Yeah. We've been in it, and you've had some amazing things to say. Great points that you've made.
Thank you!
Yes.
Thank you.
It's truth. I'm just speaking truth.
Yes.
So, overall thoughts, not of the entire series. We'll get into that later.
Oh, okay. Just of this episode. I felt like this whole episode was kind of like... Can we believe? Can mm-hmm. we not? Is there something to see? But if it was in our face, would we even understand or know what was happening?
Exactly. I 100% agree. I feel like it left us with not questions necessarily about the series or this episode, but questions more asking ourselves inwardly.
Yeah, absolutely.
What do you believe?
What do you believe? Mm-hmm. What would happen if this actually was a thing?
Yes, and that's why I like this so much, because I like this series so much. It's because it really puts it into perspective. And that's something that's new. I haven't seen. Like, what if this happened today? What would it be if it was, you know, right. really yeah. happening? And that's why I thought this series was so fresh and interesting, because that has been proposed but never on a series. So I really, really like that. I really want to get into Megiddo Explained, because I've had so many questions about it. And we find that Al-Masai just keeps pushing. Payam, excuse me. I'm just going to refer to him as Payam now.
Yeah, that's okay. what we were trying to do. But I know, then I just keep calling stuck. Him Al-Masai.
I'm just stuck. So Payam is in the plane because he was captured, but willingly captured by Avram. And he goes in, and basically Avram's like, I'm going to take you into a really, really deep, dark cellar, and nobody will hear you scream to anybody.
Yeah, but he also was saying that he was like his keeper.
Yeah, basically.
That sucks.
But totally, it sucks.
Oh, my God. That was the deal he made with the president's cabinet or whoever that man is?
Well, to get his life back. Yeah, I don't know when he would get his life back. I'm assuming when Payam's...
Never.
When Payam's dead. When he kills... I'm assuming that Avram was going to kill him.
Somebody was going to kill him.
Yeah. But while this is looming, okay, above their heads, like, is it going to be imminent death or not, he keeps pushing on this Megiddo thing. And he's like,
how does he know? See, I think this is another point for Team Believer, because how does he know? He honestly reads people so well. How does he know about this incident?
That is I don't know.
How does he know?
That I cannot answer.
How does he know? Right, exactly.
That I can't answer. I don't know.
Faith you cannot answer. Questions do not need answers sometimes. That's how I feel.
I don't know how he knows that. I think he did his homework
on
Avram. No. I don't know how. Okay, I don't know how. No. That I can't explain.
Wrong answer. I think that's a team. That's another point.
Okay,
I think
I'll give you that.
Okay.
I'll give you that point.
I think Believer, hashtag Team Believer.
Yes.
I think we're winning. I think we're winning, you guys. I think we're winning.
But I'm still not convinced, okay? I'm still not convinced. Because there's so much at play that's going on. But somebody shoots the plane. Okay? At first, I didn't think that somebody shot the plane.
I don't think it shot the plane. I thought it just blew up.
Oh, no.
How do you know?
No. Somebody shot the plane, because when Ava talks to Cameron, which is like the president's henchman, That guy who's like the most annoying guy in the world.
Yeah.
She talks to him and she's like, you can't do this. That was a government plane. And so there's that confrontation when she talks to him about that. Not only that, but after the plane gets shot down, he receives a phone call that said it's done.
Oh.
So the plane, I'm pretty sure, was shot down. Made to look like an accident, but shot down, like in the middle of nowhere. Okay.
Right.
So as the plane is hit, Abram starts seeing, like, replaying these incidents as he's looking into Payam's eyes. And finally, we see, okay, so Abram shot this little boy.
Ah! You guys, that was so sad.
It was so sad. He basically shot him for revenge because
on his mom's
death. Yeah, because his father was the one that killed his mom.
Right.
And he was saying that he was seeing the same evil in this little boy that his father had. So he's, like, ending the bloodline, so to speak.
You guys, that was the saddest thing.
It's a terrible
thing. I feel like even Abby was kind of, like, crying. I think he was emotional, too, like, having to shoot the kid. Like, that whole scene just seemed very, like...
Well, that's the thing is he didn't have to shoot the kid. Like, they got the information. He did. But he got the information out of him that he needed, which is the reason why they captured him in the first place. It was only after he found out who the kid was that he was like, you know what? I'm going to shoot him. Because he was trying to get revenge. Obviously, that did not end his feelings because to seek revenge, you can kill all the people you want. You're still going to feel like crap inside. You're still going to feel that sadness and that, you know,
right. But horrid feeling. That just put a band-aid over the wound for that moment in time.
Right.
But you still haven't dealt with the real issue here. And the fact that you killed a 14-year-old boy.
Yeah.
He was only 14.
He was only 14.
He had nothing to do with your mother. He was innocent.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Whatever beef that your dad had with your mom, or maybe they didn't even have beef. Like, maybe she was just at the wrong time, you know? And she just happened to get blown up and died. Maybe that wasn't his intention. It wasn't like they set the bomb off in her car or, like, in her apartment. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I yeah.
So maybe yeah. But your mom had nothing to do with it.
But what is it? The sins of the father pass on to the son. I know I'm totally misquoting it, but there is a quote like that out there. It's like the sins of the father pass on to the son. So that way, whatever the father does will transfer on to his kids.
Right.
And they will have to pay for the sin that the father did. I think that's that in play.
But maybe it could have been accidental. We never really got the answers on if it was like...
Oh, yeah. But either way, it killed his mom. He's pissed about it.
Yeah.
For his life. Which, I mean, I would be too. I mean, let's be real. I would be too.
Right.
But we finally get that story. That's what he doesn't want anybody to know, except for his partner, who saw it happen, didn't stop him.
Didn't stop it, but I don't think he was in agreement with the situation.
No,
he
not at
like
all.
He was very pained to be watching that
yeah.
situation go down.
Yeah. So that's the only person that knows about it. Obviously, it has to be. All right, I already gave you that point, so I won't touch on it.
About Amasai
knowing about it. I was going to say, I feel like his partner told him something.
Oh,
like,
my God.
Like, put it in a brief somewhere. I'm just saying. Team skeptic? All right, I'm just saying.
Hashtag team believer, you guys. She's on something else right now. I think the okay, bestie and the... And they're tight. I don't think he has loose lips.
Well, talking about things... Can you tell us more about the talking that goes on here at AfterBuzz TV?
Because we do a lot of that, don't we?
We so do.
Yeah. I like to talk. Do you like to talk?
I do.
Yeah. And thank you so much for making us the ESPN of TV talk. Here at AfterBuzz, we cover a lot of things. Dramas, reality shows, binge shows, Netflix, Hulu, Apple TV, everything. If you're watching it, we're covering it. And you can watch us live, and you can do the live chat and stream, like, comment, and subscribe to the channel. You can also hear us on iTunes and Spotify if you're busy and on the go and don't have time to sit and watch our videos. But yeah, you have plenty of resources to reach out, see us, hear us.
Perfect.
Yes.
You can hear us anyway, anytime, any day.
Yep. 24/7.
So let's talk about Miriam. Now, Miriam's a reporter. I love her. Okay. I think she's awesome. She is handed a brief by Cameron that has basically all the data that Ava has collected.
Right.
So Ava didn't know that this data was being handed over, but now Miriam has it. And she does this she puts it in the public, like, front page, like, center. She's saying it everywhere.
This totally ruins Ava's whole investigation.
It does.
Like, everything that she's been working on for the past 9 episodes, you guys, like, literally blown up in 5 minutes because Cameron is trying to be sneaky and just trying to discredit this man, so when he goes missing, no one's going to give a flying crap.
But not only that, but now, because when she found out, when all of this was released, she also found out that the plane went down. So she thinks, she's assuming everybody is dead.
Right.
Al-Masai, Avram, and the 2 other people that were on the plane. I think she's assuming that they're all dead.
Of course.
So her case is closed. And now all of this information that she had is leaked to the public. And when everybody hears it, we have Stacy. Okay. Stacy hears it. So their daughter, her husband Jonah, divorced her.
He wants a divorce.
Right.
He said he was just done because she was irresponsible. And then, especially after they heard this news.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he was...
He was pissed.
Totally.
Because they took their daughter off chemo to go after this guy.
Who is mortal.
Allegedly mortal. Who's not even the Messiah. She went thinking that he was the Messiah and could heal her. They sat in a room alone together and just stared at each other.
Right.
So she could be healed. So all that time she could have been getting chemo treatment. And she wasn't. And she came back and she was like, oh, look, she feels better. And he's like, that's because she hasn't been on chemo.
Right. Like, of course she's going to feel better because she's not getting pumped with poison.
Right. Yes. And then, you guys, she died.
She died. Well, she was kind of like on life support at first. And then I was like, oh, she might make it.
She might make it. She not. She did.
Jonah's never going to forgive her for that. Never.
Absolutely not.
Never.
But like in that whole interim, they find out that her attempts to save her daughter to go see this Messiah character was all for nothing.
Absolutely
because
nothing.
Because he's fake. He's from his brother. And his brother even said, the best magicians make you a part of it. They bring you in.
Right.
And that's exactly what Payam did, okay?
That's insane. She could still be alive right now.
She could. Have
taken her all the way to Dilley, Texas, driven around, went to D.C., gone a wild goose chase like a groupie.
Seriously.
Her daughter would still be alive.
Yes. Now we have Jabril. Jabril is alive, okay? Dun, I don't know how he survived the blast.
Because he is the chosen one.
I wonder, you guys,
believe? Oh, now you want to believe?
I don't believe Al-Masai. I believe that Jabril has something going on with him. I'm not saying he's the Messiah, okay? But I believe that he has something going on with him. And the fact that he survived the blast tells me...
I mean, he was in pretty close proximity to that thing.
He was super close proximity. Yeah. And the other people... He was put on the cart or the truck with the other people that were hit with the blast. And the guy next to him was dying. And the guy was like, wake up, wake up, wake up.
Right. But he held his hand.
He held his hand.
That was cute.
Yeah.
And the guy squeezed it. Like, he had a little strength left.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Didn't make him come back, I don't think.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
There's a theory out there that a couple of things that I've read that said that people think that that is a telling that Jabril has powers. Like, maybe the guy was
dying. But he didn't bring him back.
I agree. I think it's a lost thing to point it out. But, like... I don't think he brought him back to life or anything. I think it was just grasping his hand.
Yeah, just like a little comfort.
Yeah.
I got you.
Yeah.
You're not going to die alone.
Right. And, of course, Felix is at the hospital as well because his daughter had a seizure on stage.
Right. And got carried off, which was a great distraction, by the way. This happened last episode, but this is a great distraction for the fact that Al-Masai did not show up whatsoever. And I know that Ed was so pissed off about that.
You know he is.
Totally.
But in addition to...
It made everybody look like a fool.
Yeah. But in addition to, like, now that all this is exposed, like, Felix looks like a fool. Ed looks like a fool. Like, everybody's totally embarrassed, and he flees from the hospital. And all these people are like, did you know? What's going on? Did you know?
He's,
you know,
running. Oh, my God. Please. Excuse me.
He feels like a horrible person. But he goes back and sets fire to his church.
Right.
Which is, first of all... That shot was amazing.
Wasn't it beautiful?
Him standing in front of the burning church.
Which I kind of thought was a hot second. I was like, dang, your face ain't on fire. You ain't hot. Nothing
like
that.
No, he's too, like, pat. Because he's, like, crying and, you know.
Yeah.
He was so wrapped up in the story and in himself.
But, yeah, no, it was, I mean, realistically, I don't think you could stand that close to a fire.
No.
Not that big. But in any case in the show, yeah, it was a beautiful scene.
Yes.
And it was definitely full circle because, I don't know, episode 8 or 7 or 6, that he was trying to burn it up anyway, right? And then he ends up burning it up, like, full circle.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that he thought he believed in came crashing down. I thought that was like
very symbolic.
Very symbolic.
It's what he's based his entire life off of.
And it means nothing. Well, because he also wasn't doing it the right way, but that's besides the point.
This is true. We also have the final miracle. Now, I say that skeptically. Okay.
Hashtag team believer. You know what? Look, I put OMG, I think team believer won. This episode was really like.
No. Listen to me. Okay. Listen. They start the whole, they start the episode off with this little boy who's late. He's herding his goats in. He's late. And he goes to school. Okay, they're like being taught from this iPad or computer
In the trees.
Very weird. So this is how he's learning. But he comes with this really elaborate story, and about like fighting off a lion, and he was saving his goats from this lion. There was no lion. Okay, and then the kids that he was with were like, oh, he tells lots of stories. That's what he does. He likes to tell stories. Why would they put that in there? What's the purpose of putting that in there?
Yeah.
And then after the plane crashes, okay, and Avi wakes up, Abram wakes up and sees Al-Masai before him. And then that same kid who tells all those stories comes in and gives him water and was like, you were dead. You were gray. You had flies coming out of your mouth. And he raised you. He raised you from the dead. He put his hand on your chest and you breathe. You breathe again. Same with the other guy. And he's like, what? I don't believe it.
No, listen, stories. Mm-mm. The story. Yes. Mm-mm. Listen, I'm so here for this. I think that was. Okay, so what do you think? What do you think he is? Dead? Do you think he's dead?
No, I don't think anybody was dead. I don't think anybody died. I think two people in the plane crash died because there was two people that were obviously dead on the ground. Uh-huh. And then there was Abram and there was Al-Masai and then there was another dude. And this little boy is saying that Al-Masai raised these two guys from the dead. Don't believe it. I don't believe it because why else in this episode?
So why else? How else would they be alive then?
Sometimes people survive plane crashes.
That looked pretty crazy. There was no plane.
It depends on how the pilot landed the plane.
Which doesn't look like it was very well because it was smeared all the way like 30 yards. And the pilot was over there really dead. Like,
yeah, the pilot was for real dead. I don't believe it.
I was like, at that moment, I was like, oh my God.
Because why else? But why else would they start the episode off with this little boy?
Because I feel like, you know, it's like, you always have kids sometimes that like tell a lot of stories and then people never believe them. But that what if the stories end up sometimes being true and then you didn't believe them? But like really they were called for like a greater purpose. I don't know. I'm really here for this.
I don't know. No. I don't think with everything. I don't think so.
Mm-mm. He's called for a greater purpose, this kid. But okay. But if he tells a lot of stories, what is the point of having him in the scene?
Because he was the first one to see the plane crash. He's the first one to go to them because they're out in the middle of nowhere.
I don't know where they are. Happened to mysteriously, just like magically survive, these two?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then the kid has the significance for what?
To plant the idea that Al-Masai has miraculous power to resurrect people from the dead.
So Payam had him in on the whole thing? So before he woke up the other two, he said, hey.
Because here's what I think about Payam. I don't think that he's the type of person to go to people and stage things. I think the only person he does that with is Oscar Wallace because they stay in contact. Mm-hmm. I think that Payam, like I said in the last episode that we were filming, that he takes every opportunity to see where it leads and lets people draw their own conclusion, right? So he doesn't know who this kid is. He's never met this kid. I don't think he went to this kid and was like, tell him that I resurrected him. I don't think he did that. I think the kid came.
Right at the same time that he was trying to wake him up or something?
Yeah. I honestly do. Because that's how Payam's life has worked in all honesty.
So how did he walk on water then?
It's a trick. It's a trick.
Learn it so I can figure it out.
I will do my best. I'm going to Google it and look it up because I'm going to find it. I am.
Next thing we're going to see, Tatiana on the water.
That's what I think. So now I want to take a second to dissect the entire thing as a whole, the entire season as a whole, because there's so much to unpack. But like overall.
Yes.
What do you think is the purpose of this season? Do you think, because I feel like, you know, they say, Netflix says that it's not a religious show, yet they are drawing from Islam and they are drawing from some Christian principles as well, with this whole, you know, playing off of the second coming in both of those religions. And when he talks to people, he talks faith-based, but he never says which faith he is. Right. Like he's for the people.
Right.
Right. Basically is what he was saying. Right. So and then but pretty much he leaves with he had a huge following and he's leaving with the people that were following him the hardest. Now their lives are shaken and they don't believe anything. Like Felix doesn't believe anything anymore.
You know what's funny, though? I have a friend that's kind of like this.
Like Priam?
No.
Is he walking on water? Is he people back from the dead? Can we interview him?
No, not like that. But like someone, like, I think, well, just speaking on like the Felix situation, right?
Yeah.
It's like, and that whole like structure of religion and what you're taught. So like, you have someone who's been taught their whole life, like, okay, I've been to Catholic school my whole life. And so that's what I'm taught. That, you know, we have the saints and then you have the father and there's the bishop and the pope, right? Like, and this is like the structure of what you are taught. Mm-hmm. But then you go and you talk to another religion, right? Like for my example would be like Jehovah's Witness. Mm-hmm. And they read straight from the Bible, right? Mm-hmm. Never does it say that there's a saint. Never does it say that there's X, Y, and Z that these other... that the other religion that I had been growing up in my whole life says, right? The Trinity, it's different. Like Catholic, it's one and three, three and one, right? For Jehovah's Witness, it's like, no, that's three separate entities. It's not one. So it's like, there's all these different ideas of what religion is, what it could be, what it means, how it's interpreted, what you think. So it's like, it's not unusual to have someone that's like so confused, because when you're in your bubble, you're there in your bubble and this is what you think. But as soon as someone starts questioning your beliefs and you're like, wait, that does kind of make sense. Wait, blah, blah. Like now it's not as strong, right? The bubble weakens. And so I think like with Felix, it's like he was in his bubble weakened because of what he thought he knew is now not what it is, right? He thought the second coming, this is what it is in the Bible. I have faith. I'm going to believe. I'm going to follow. I'm going to do this. And then he does all the things that he thinks is the correct thing to do. And it ends up not being what his thoughts are, right? He thought he was real. Now it's coming out in the reports that he's not. So I think that that can happen easily. And so overall, right? So I was saying... well, in this episode, too, like, there's a lot of, like, power struggles. Like, who's going to win? Who's, like, whose side's going to win, right? Like, you have the Messiah, then you have Samir and, like, Bomber, and then you have Jabir. So, but I said everyone has the right to believe in what they want. You see what you see because of the reasons and how you, depending on your life experiences, mm-hmm. and how you choose to look at things, how you choose to interpret stuff. And so I feel like this was a very... like, I think the whole season was kind of like, you see something, but do you believe it?
Right.
Right? Like, you have faith, but, the thing is, like, we've never seen God. Mm-hmm. Like, in our lifetime, we've never seen God. We've never seen Jesus. But when we say something is a miracle, right, or something comes out of nothing, or someone works hard and makes is successful, right, you're always like, God was there with me, right? That's always like, oh, like I was working in retail and then I happened to get a career job. I'm like, oh, thank God. Like I was struggling. So I was like, oh, God pushed me to that. You get what I'm saying? So it's like, but I don't know. What do you think?
I mean,
I'm rambling. No, no
you
tell
made,
me.
You made really good points. I like what you had to say. And I think there's so much validity to that, you know, pairing it with this season. I think towards the end, I think somebody can walk away feeling two separate things. Either you can sit here and say, look at the entire season and go, wow, I see how people can use religion and politics to manipulate the masses.
Right.
When, you know, if you don't believe in anything, it's really easy to prey on other people with their beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you can walk away saying... religion is a tool to control people. Yes. I think that's one thing that you could walk away thinking. Or you can walk away thinking, if you are challenged, if somebody comes to you and says, I am the second coming, or, you know, I am going to be your savior in this moment because the end times are near. I think it's saying, look, you have to know what you believe, and you have to know it frontwards and backwards. Because bottom line, you will be challenged at any point in time.
Right.
And so when that happens, you need to know. Otherwise, you will be shaken and fall apart. Because we saw almost all of these characters, minus Ava, because she didn't believe in him in the first place.
Right.
She was shaken because the person that she had feelings for died in a plane crash. I think that was what like shook her the most.
So she thought, dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, but I think that with Felix, you know, his wife was a non-believer. She didn't necessarily believe in God.
Right.
And his daughter was like, no, my parents are so lost. They don't even know what they believe, you know? And so he just jumped right into Al-Messiah. If he's a pastor and he's going to base everything off the Bible and then go follow the, like, Al-Messiah, like, that just shows you right there, he has no idea what he believes.
Right.
If you're going to take the show and back it up against the Bible,
right,
there's no way this dude could be the Messiah.
Right.
Absolutely not. If you are,
it's not gonna have random term papers in the library.
Yeah, for real. Like, yeah, you know, if you read about the second coming in Revelation and compare it and contrast it to, you know, Isaiah and Matthew, no,
right.
I know this is not like it's not this show is not gonna follow everything biblically, so I understand that it's like an interpretation. But still, if you're gonna have a reverend and he's gonna follow this, that just shows me right there he doesn't know what he believes.
I like your point there, because I feel like a lot of people don't know what they believe.
Yeah,
like, and you go to church, you read the Bible, that's great, but like,
right,
what do you believe?
Right.
And I think a lot of people are like confused because you just go off on what you're hearing and you don't search yourself to find out what it is truly that you believe.
Exactly. And I think that's the point of this show, is it's asking so much like, what do you believe and why? Because it's so important to have the why. Not just because, oh, I was raised this way, because I was raised this way, that's what I know, and so that's it. Like, it's like, no, you know, I am a Christian because why? Why am I a Christian?
Yeah.
Why do I believe? And so many people are like, no, it's not fair to ask that question to God. It's not fair to ask questions. No. Ask all the questions.
Yeah.
Because when that time comes where you will be, you know, something will come up against what you believe, whatever it is that you believe, when that time comes, you will be challenged. Either you're going to crumble or you're going to rise up. And I think in these instances, they crumbled because they had no idea.
Yeah.
And that's why I like this show, is because it poses that question. It almost like hits it, like it punches you in the face. Like, you know, do you believe this and why? You know, you better know.
And that's why I said in the beginning that this is like an analytical show. Like, this is not someone that's like, let me look at this and like take it verbatim, right? It's like, you need to analyze what the message actually is. And I think like everything that we've said, like, I'm pretty sure that it sounds really close to like being on point.
Yeah.
With everything that like the show has shown us so far. I totally agree. A lot of people don't know what they believe.
Yeah, they don't. Or they believe something, but they don't know why.
They don't know why. Because my parents told me.
Yeah.
And the pastor said.
It's the why. It's the why that's important.
Yeah.
You know, you have, like, we tell my kids, we have rules. If I just say, these are the rules, period, and I don't explain why we have them or why I'm saying no, they're just like, okay, I can't do it. And eventually, one day, they're going to go, why? Well, I'm going to do it anyway. And then they'll find out the hard way. You know what I mean? So it's like that kind of same mentality, is you need to know why. And that's what I think they're doing with the show. They're not basing it necessarily off of any religion. They pulled from these different things.
All different things.
To make it interesting, you know, to make it apply to today. But I don't think it's like a Christian show or an Islamic show or a Middle Eastern show. I don't think it's any of that. I think it's just simply posing the question, if your beliefs are at stake, and you have something that challenges it to your core,
right,
you need to understand why you believe what you do or what you believe in. You need to know why. It's the why.
The guys. Why. I think that's so good, because this honestly came at like such a good time. I'm really going through this like journey of like a religious journey, because I, like I said, I did grow up Catholic my whole life. And like my ex-coworker. She is Jehovah's Witness, but like, we just talk about the Bible. I'm not trying to convert. Like, I don't even know anything, if I even want to be claimed as anything at this point in time. But like, I just want to learn more about the Bible. And that's really because I want to like know more so I can, someone comes and asks me some questions, yeah. I'll have the right answers. I'll have it straight from the Bible. I'll be like, okay, turn your Bible to this passage and I'll know what I'm saying and what I'm speaking. Instead right. of just being like, I believe in God. Why?
I don't know. Because I feel like.
No, it's like I want to have answers. So that's why. So this is actually totally so parallel to like my own journey right now.
Yeah.
Why do you believe the what you believe?
Well, and I think it's relevant too because we live in crazy times.
Completely.
Right now. It's so insane what's going on with the world. And, you know, there's something in the news every single day. And so like a lot of people are saying like, are we in the end times? Like some people, it's a big conversation. So it's funny that this show was brought
timely.
Up. Yeah. And yeah. that the show was brought up and all these things are happening in the show that are depicting like the end times. And so it's kind of like you have to start deciding why you're here, what you're doing with your life. And I'm not saying the world's going to end tomorrow or that Jesus is going to return right. tomorrow. That's not what I'm saying. But,
right.
but you just have, you need reasons behind your actions, you know? And that's why I like this because it can parallel today's day and age because there's so much craziness in the world. It's like, why? What is going on? Something is going on with the world, you know? So I got to figure out where my place is in it.
Right.
And how I'm going to move forward in that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Completely. I love it.
That's what I think. So now that we have talked about to death our opinions about what this show is,
boom,
we'd love to know what you think and how you interpret it. I know there's like a million things out there, but we'd love to know what your thoughts are on this interpretation of the series as a whole and what you think the end conversation was trying to get at, like what was the end question that they were saying. As we move on, let's go ahead and check out news and gossip. Ebony.
Yes.
AfterBuzz TV News.
So I have an interview here that involves Michael, who again is the director and writer of Messiah, Michael Petroni, and then I also have the actor who plays Avram in there, and his name is, make sure I'm saying this right.
Yeah.
Mehdi Debi?
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe that's how you say it.
Okay. If Mehdi I said Debi. It wrong, I apologize. But basically, the question is there one thing to, so this is asking the director, right? Is there one seed of an idea as a whole? As it's a whole other thing to have many characters, but, you know, they all have different storylines. So Michael, he says, it was big. Once you actually get to the point, it does seem almost unmanageable to the story to tell, like when you have in the writer's room, right? So he's talking about the writer's room. He's posing the question of what if. He wanted to make a series about like a what if happened, what if scenario. Very seriously, and did not make a fictional version of the show. So he's basically just saying he wanted to pose the question, kind of like exactly what we said.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, look at us.
We're on the right track.
We're on the right track. And I loved it. And I wanted to pull articles today that kind of like wrapped everything up because I feel like I wanted to know, like, why did you even write this?
Yeah.
Like, what was the purpose behind this, right? Here's another excerpt from the interview. So it is not just putting it back on the audience, but also telling the audience whatever you decide is okay, right? And Petroni's answer, he's like, yeah, whatever you decide is okay, and whatever you decide is your experience of the show. Everyone actually has a different experience with the show. It's not a singular experience. You want to talk about what your experience with the next person, and it's always going to be different. Right. So like we were both going back and forth on just like our opinions. I believe she didn't believe.
Right.
You know, and but at the end, I think our conclusions kind of match. Right. And so then the next one would just be with the character, the Abby character. He was the question was what that was like as an actor in the middle of all of the seriousness of the character. How does it feel? Does it feel more challenging? To find a character like that, how does it feel, right? So he says that it feels like a Russian doll. Once you open it, you're excited, and then you see another and another, and it gets very, very deep. It was probably the most intense and challenging experience I've had as an actor, not only because of the largeness of the role, but at the also at the time. So I think...
How long did it say? Did you say how long it said it took him to...
Yeah, so it says that it was a whole year of his life for him filming the show, and that he only had 6 months to prepare and then 6 months to shoot.
Wow, okay. So he was, like, enveloped in the character for 6 months.
I mean, yeah, that's, like, insane. I mean, I feel like as actors, you definitely have to do, like, an intense training.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Whatever your character is, like, an intense study. Yeah. So if it's an accent, you need to learn an accent. If it's, you know, the character is depressed, like, you need to, like, get that energy of a depressed person. You need to know what it's like to be depressed, feel depressed, and portray being depressed, right?
Because a believable version
because no one's gonna want to sit there and watch you and you're like, wait, are you depressed? Are you happy? Like, what's going on? Right. So yeah, and then to only have 6 months to shoot, I mean, all 10 episodes, that is really, I'm sure it was a really tight intense schedule.
Yeah, and he did a fantastic job. He did a really good job. So in the end, real quick, do you think that this is a person that Payam is a person that had the ability to heal people and is doing good in the world, or do you think that he's doing bad in the world?
I don't think he had the ability to heal people, but I do think that he has the ability to, like, shake things up, create chaos, and have people think, pose a question. Like, if you can be fooled by me, you can be fooled by anyone. So clearly you don't have a strong enough faith in whatever it is that you believe.
Boom!
You know?
I agree.
Yeah.
There's our conclusion, you guys.
Boom! I hope you guys enjoyed this.
We are sad to see you go, you guys. But this wraps our entire season of Messiah on Netflix. We had so much fun covering it. I hope that a season 2 arises so that way we can cover that as well. Until then, thank you guys so much for watching. Before we leave, yes, can you tell us where to find you, Ebony?
Yes, please. Find me on Instagram and on Twitter at EbonyChapman12.
Amazing. And I am Tatiana Marisa at Tatiana Marisa on all social media platforms. Until then, you guys, we'll catch you on another show.
Yes.
Bye.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.